You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The My Choice sales event is on. Choose your bonus up to $2,000 bonus cash, up to 1% rate reduction, or up to 3 payments on them. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and online TSN1050.ca. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, later in the hour. Two more battles in the Overdrive Madness bracket, and Bo Bichette will join us in 5 minutes. I'm looking forward to catching up with Bo. He's always a fun interview, and he's always willing to accept it, too, man. He's always in the mood to talk. That's a good sign, I think.
Yeah.
When you talk about his brand and his image in the city, the more media he does, the more opportunities on social media, he's going to have a ton of endorsement deals.
Oof.
He's going to be the man. If he keeps it up with the bat and continues to perform, he plays a prominent position at short, too, he's going to be the king of Toronto.
Yeah, he must be disappointed. I mean, he had so much momentum going in, and then to have that pause, it must be just devastating. Like you said, if he just kept it going, he came out to a hot start, he would own this town.
Well, of the faces of Toronto, the young faces of these teams, I would argue Matthews is the clear-cut face of the Maple Leafs. You guys might argue that he's not the captain of the team. He may not be the voice of the team all the time, but
Face of the team.
I think he's exactly. And I think Bichette, yeah. It's a smaller sample size. He's only played like 50 games in the majors, so you got to give him more time to continue to perform.
Still the face of the team. And if you go to the Raptors, it's Pascal Siakam.
See, that one's interesting because Lowry. I would argue Kyle, because Kyle's been here the longest. Kyle is more vocal. He's more in your face. He's more of a character. He plays with more of an attitude, so to speak. But I think putting those two aside, because they've won a championship. Siakam's a younger player, but Lowry's been here for a long time. Which face of the franchise do you think has a better chance of holding on to that for the next 5 years? Would it be Matthews or would it be Bichette?
I think Matthews, because I think hockey is still king in Toronto, don't you think? I mean,
yeah, it's just, I mean, you said next 5 years and his contract's only 4, right? That's the only thing. It would be Matthews hand down, but I think Bo, you know, as an opportunity to be there just because of the longevity as well. And if the team, if the Blue Jays, they look to be on the right path. And I know, I think Matthews is staying for a long time, and I don't want to get into any type of, like, you know, debate about that. But, you know, terms of contracts do mean something, you know, in today's world. You do see some turnover, and we are seeing turnover of guys at a younger age now, and Matthews' deal does walk him to unrestricted free agency.
Well, and the only thing also is when it comes to taking the contract out of it, you just look at the other players on their own team that would be in contention for it. I think John Tavares can make a case. You know, he's from here and he's the captain of the team. I think Mitch Marner can and will make a case. With the Jays, it's basically going to be either Bo or Vladdy. Like, I just think there's more potential with the Maple Leafs and the Matthews pursuit, although I expect Matthews to hold on to that label. And that's a good thing. The more players you have, the more players with personality, the more high-end talent, that's always a good thing. And give the Jays some time. Maybe that will continue to develop. Maybe Biggio continues to play that role. Nate Pearson could be a guy in a similar conversation in a year or two. But, man, they're both at such a young age. Like, when you consider what we've been waiting for in Toronto for so long, for Matthews to be here, Marner to be here, Nylander to be here, Bichette and Vladdy and Biggio to be here, homegrown talents came up through the system and appear to be ready to rock for a long time. It's long overdue in Toronto.
And it's such a good sign. Suffer like you have. That's what happens afterwards. And it's just how many organizations have you seen go through tough times and then they try to replenish and it's still garbage. So it's... You're lucky to hit on those players, or else you're just stuck in the mud.
Yeah. Well, these teams have done it, right? Like, the Leafs did it forever. They were bad for a long time.
They couldn't find it. They would always go halfway in. They'd be like, well, we kind of want to get younger, but we also want to go trade for Phil and try to be good this year, too.
Right. Exactly. And that's the perfect example.
Which is idiotic.
That was a part of the blowback that Phil had to take. It wasn't his fault, you know, not to dig up that grave, but Kessel, immediately people were like, oh, great, Phil's here, but two first-rounders are going the other way. And it turns into Sagan, it turns into Dougie Hamilton. And, you know, with the Jays, the MLB draft is different. There was, you know, back in the day, you could pay players whatever you wanted for the most part, hence why guys like would show up with the Yankees and show up with the Red Sox and Cubs and Dodgers. But the Jays hit. You know, they gave the most money, international money, to Vladdy, who wasn't in the draft. They just paid up. And they paid up when he was really young. And Bichette, they just hit. Like, they drafted him. He didn't go first overall, but, man, did they hit. And when he showed up last year, he immediately became, I think, the face of the team, as we've been saying all afternoon. And it's a bummer he's not playing right now down at the Rogers Center. It was supposed to be opening day with the Red Sox in town, but that'll have to wait for hopefully sooner rather than later. But at some point, the boys will be back up here, and they'll be playing down at the Dome. And to chat about that, we're joined now by the man himself from the Blue Jays, starting shortstop. Here is Bo Bichette back on Overdrive. What's up, Bo?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing all right, man. What's your daily routine like these days?
Man, I'm just fortunate enough to have, you know, my parents have a little gym in their house that we're able to use and still stay in shape. But, you know, I've got a couple of teammates living with me and, you know, just trying to do our best to, you know, continue to get ready.
Is there a cage in the house?
We got a little net. But we got our own cage down the road. So, you know, I'm pretty blessed.
Yeah, that is that would be unique. I read something from, I don't remember which athlete was saying this today, basically just has a bike and is doing push-ups. Like, it's like a Rocky routine from one of the Rocky movies. Like, no ability to get in the gym, no ability to get into the cage, onto the court, onto the ice. So you feel like if you had to play tonight, you would be in a pretty good spot to do so?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm definitely going to be ready whenever the time is. But like I said, I mean, I'm blessed to have what I have, and a lot of guys don't have that. And you know, it's going to be definitely going to be a challenge and something new that a lot of us are going to have to overcome and get ready in a short period of time.
Well, what kind of instructions are you getting from your team, agents, just everybody? Is it just something that's going to be a long-term thing, or just kind of day by day, stay tuned, we'll inform you of what's going on? It must be kind of a weird time and a difficult time to kind of not know what's around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, the information we're getting is not really information, to be honest. It's kind of just speculation, but I think just from everybody's standpoint, you know, the first thing is just keeping everybody healthy. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think that when that time comes to talk about when we're going to start playing again, that'll come. But for now, it's just about, you know, trying to, I think, set a good example for everybody else and staying inside and trying to stop this thing.
With Bo Bichette here on Overdrive, you were about halfway through the spring. How'd you feel about the squad, you know, halfway through spring training leading up to the regular season?
Yeah, that's probably the most disappointing thing. I mean, we were feeling really good. Everybody was competing, trying to get better, and that's not necessarily a normal thing during spring training. So, you know, we were super excited to get the season going, really confident. Everybody thought we had a chance to do something special, and, you know, so that's definitely unfortunate. But like I said, we're just, you know, it is what it is, and we kind of got to make sure we're doing our part in the world and figuring out, like I said, how to slow this thing down.
With Bo Bichette, yeah, we've spoken to a lot of people within the organization throughout baseball. We had Jason Stark from The Athletic on with us a couple of hours ago, and he said he showed up at camp. He was in Dunedin a few weeks ago, and talking to coaches, talking to different members of the organization, and they all said, this Bo Bichette kid, man, he's special, not only because of what he does on the field, but the leadership role he's already taken upon himself. Can you speak to that, the importance that you've placed on yourself now that you've shown up to camp, knowing you're going to be playing, knowing that you're going to be a face of this team, which would be different from a year ago? How much of a leadership role did you take on this spring, considering your circumstance?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I understand that I'm, you know, I have more, you know, I have more expectations on myself and more things that I have to definitely watch out for what I'm doing, because I am an example. But at the same time, you know, for me, it's about going out there and just trying to get better, just trying to make sure I get my work done, try to play hard. And you know, I'm not too worried about being a leader. I think that, you know, I just got to go out there and handle myself and make sure that I'm good and make sure that I'm ready to go. And if people want to look at me as that type of guy, then, you know, I'm just going to make sure that I'm setting a good example. But that's definitely not my main goal.
To be in a leadership role in the clubhouse, do you think you also have to be performing at a high level? I mean, a lot of times teams have role players that show leadership, But we've had this discussion on our show. To be a guy in that clubhouse that's a vocal leader or whatever kind of leadership is needed in that clubhouse, you also have to be performing every day?
I mean, that's an interesting question. I would say, yeah. I mean, it, definitely a big part of it is that, you know, people are definitely going to look up to guys who are playing well and look like they have their, you know, their game together and all of that. But, you know, there's definitely more to it than that. I mean, I think that being a professional, playing as hard as you can every day, showing up to work, being prepared every single day, I think that's the type of stuff that really sets an example for the rest of the team. And obviously, I mean, playing well doesn't hurt. So, you know, I think it's probably definitely a big part of it, but it's not everything.
How long after your debut last summer did it dawn on you that, man, Toronto's feeling me at this point? Like, you hit the ground running and you became a rock star almost overnight. Did it dawn on you quickly that the city and the fan base was really starting to circle the wagons and become big fans almost immediately?
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that, you know, people were enjoying watching me play and enjoying having me on the team in Toronto and everything. I think that when I realized that I was kind of become, I guess, a big deal, if you want to call it that, was kind of I just started doing some stuff in the off season, some media stuff and all that, and I kind of realized, like, wow, I think Toronto is the only place in the whole world that I could play 2 months and be in these type of situations. And so that's kind of when I realized how special that city is and how lucky I am to be there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can speak for people in Toronto. We've been waiting for you guys for a while. I mean, not only yourself. We've been waiting for Cabin. We've been waiting for Vladdy. And it's tough to be patient as a fan. But once you guys arrived and once you guys all connected, once you were playing games in September and you were all stepping up every night, I think it made people realize that there's real potential in the future. And obviously, when you're coming up through the system, you're thinking about yourself and just getting to the bigs. But now that you're here and you're settled and you look around, do you sense that same potential? And do you feel like you can get there quicker than some of the pundits think you can?
Yeah, definitely. I was just thinking about saying that, you know, as much as you guys are excited about our future, you know, we believe in ourselves way more than people are believing in us. And, you know, people will say 2 or 3 years down the road, you know, we believe we can play this year and compete this year and do something that people don't expect us to do. So, you know, we're definitely excited. You know, hopefully soon we're out there playing and we can prove that. But if not, then whenever that time comes, you know, we're going to be ready.
When you came up last year and you were on fire right from the get-go, was your agent just like, was your phone blowing up with endorsement calls? And I mean, you had the hair flowing, lighting it up, hitting dingers. How was the agent's phone calls coming in to Bo Bichette?
Yeah, I have a pretty strict in-season, don't talk to me about that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Pass them on to us.
Yeah, we don't. We'll take it.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm my mom's kind of my manager, so she handled all that stuff. And then, you know, once the season kind of wound down and I was able to chill, and, you know, that's kind of when I was given all of my opportunities.
With Bo Bichette, we're all self-isolating, quarantining up here, and O threw out the idea on Monday of just cutting our own hair because we can't get to the barber at this point. Would you ever cut your own hair and put that salad at risk of being a complete disaster?
No, not anytime soon. I will not touch it until I'm allowed to have a professional touch it. So, yeah, I'm just going to let it ride right now, and hopefully it's not too long I can get it cut.
What kind of money are you spending on that hair? How much money are you pumping into that salad every year?
$0, man. Nothing. I don't do anything to it.
All right. Well, keep it rolling down there. We're looking forward to having you guys up here at some point, and hopefully sooner rather than later. And it's a bummer you're not playing this afternoon. But, you know, stay safe, stay healthy down there, and we look forward to having you back up in Toronto at some point this summer.
Yeah. All right, man. Thank you guys for having me.
You got it. There he is, Bo Bichette, all natural up top.
Very impressive.
I think the haircut costs $150 at least.
Well, that's kind of what I was indicating almost. Like, how much are you paying? You got to get someone in there that's got a PhD. If you're dealing with a hair like that, you don't go to something with chops in the name.
or cuts.
You know.
Well,
yeah,
dude, but you guys are aware. Like, do you know how much females pay for haircuts?
Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, crazy. Yeah. It's like $250, $300 for a haircut and a blow, whatever the hell they do.
Well, if you get coloring and everything, you could be looking at a $400 tab. I've heard
all day, $500 for a haircut. Who the hell charges that?
Well, if it's like a 4 or 5 hour operation,
yeah,
like
that's a thing.
We've all done the pickup. It's a move. Like you're not actually in a relationship until you get the call to come pick her up, and it's like you're killing 4 hours. Come get me in 4 hours.
What are you doing
to your hair?
Here's the thing I don't understand. If they get some coloring in it and it doesn't turn out the exact way they envisioned or the picture, like, I think they complain to the lady and
yes.
be like, hey, you know, I, and then all of a sudden, you got to go back in and have it redone. And like, I mean, listen, I respect it because I think women put a lot of time into it. But I can't be bothered, personally.
No, I'm with you on that, man. I my hair, I'm disappointed today, actually.
You don't even use gel.
I don't really. I use.
No, I know.
I don't know what I use. Yeah, it's like I get a little clay and I just fire a hand comb through there and I'm gone. And I had to do that today, actually. I might file a complaint with HR. Because I got an email from CTV News. Austin Delaney wanted to do a story on basically, what are you talking about? Like, that was basically
Come
it.
Come on.
Yeah, it was like, what are you doing right now? And any chance we could do a FaceTime, and it's probably playing on the news. It probably got bumped. Michelle Dubé was probably like, no, something came up. You're out. But yeah. I had to shave and like put on a shirt and everything, and I haven't done that in over a week.
And did they rinse you at the last minute?
Like, no,
did they
bump I ended up doing it. On? I did it, okay. But I don't know when. I don't know how they're going to cut it, edit it, when it's going to be played. If maybe they're just going to dump it right to the website and bury
Somebody
it.
Somebody finds that, you got to send it to us. You got to let me see that.
It's out there, man. FaceTiming earlier.
Hey,
today.
Hey, Brian from TSN 1050. What are you guys chatting about today?
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, that was basically nothing. It. Like, it was almost like they were laughing. They're like, "So, what? You're a pathetic loser. Like, what are you doing now?"
And well, do you guys remember near the end of his tenure? Like, not Al's brother, but Al was on TV.
Yes,
I think we were sitting there watching him.
He was there, dude. He was at Jurassic Park for Game 6 of the NBA Finals in a suit.
Yeah. Come on.
Yes, he was on CTV News Channel. I was flipping over him, but I'm like, there's Al. Al's breaking down the game.
Al or Al's brother?
No,
Al.
The original Al.
Joe Narsa, a.k.a. Al.
Our former producer.
Yes.
Like, who left us. You know, he's gone on to bigger and better things.
Bigger and better things.
But I just remember, like, that's Al. He's on TV.
Yeah.
And he was in a suit. He was all decked out.
He looked phenomenal.
He
like
did.
He really did. And he actually did an outstanding job. Like, I flipped over like at the half, CTV News Channel's just churning out news, and they're like, "All right, back to Jurassic Park. Here's Bob with Al." And Al's like, "Yeah, it was a great quarter by Kawhi Leonard." I'm like, "Holy crap!"
He was breaking things down.
Yeah.
He was on fire.
Yeah. I feel like all of our guys. I think the Grappler's done that before. I feel like the Grappler has been on CTV News Channel. Before,
like, not like drunk in the background, like he's actually interviewed.
Yeah, like here's the Grappler from TSN joining us now at 2:30 in the afternoon or whatever.
Would they font him as the Grappler? Like, that would
no.
be the best part.
That would be outstanding. But I don't think
first
that.
Of all, sir, can we have the story on how you got your name?
Yeah, we are investigating, and we need a full description. An explanation of Le Grappler.
Yeah. There are some reports out of Barrie, not confirmed.
All right. Bobby Mack coming up. Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider. Two more battles, this time courtesy of the Al's Brothers Farmer Region on the Overdrive Madness bracket. And I will get to my take I never thought I'd make. We'll do that next. All right, thanks again to Bo Bichette for joining us earlier this hour. The president of the Blue Jays, Mark Shapiro, will join us tomorrow in the 6 p.m. hour. We're looking forward to catching up with Mark. Bobby Mack will join us here in a moment. So we played the take I never thought I'd have to make game in the past hour, and you guys both made a case, one for dad bods, the other one for a piece of fruit. I'm going to put a sports spin on mine. My take I never thought I'd have to make is that in 20 years, Connor McDavid will be considered the greatest Edmonton Oiler of all time. Again, saying that now is sacrilegious. Saying that now would appear to be ludicrous because Wayne Gretzky clearly would hold that title. Am I wrong, Noodles? You're from Edmonton. I mean, I'm pretty sure 99 holds that title, and he's held it for a long time.
Well, but here's arguably the greatest player in the history of the game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And was a god in Edmonton, as you would expect when he showed up in 79. But here's why this take, it's not easy to defend, but I will. McDavid's going to spend his whole career in Edmonton. That's how it's going to happen. Gretzky, he got traded, but I think we all know Gretzky was okay with leaving. He maybe didn't want to leave, but he was okay. He understood the significance of going to L.A.
Right.
You guys all right? All right over there?
No, that's my wife. That's my wife dropping things.
Yeah, okay.
Carry on.
All right. And so McDavid will stay in Edmonton his whole career. That is going to mean a lot to that market. He's also going to end up, because of that, if he plays 20 years, I think he can catch Gretzky's records. I think he can hold on to records with the Oilers, which, again, seem insane at this point. But if he ends up playing 20 years as opposed to Gretzky's, I think it was 9, I think he can do that. And I think, considering what's been happening in the NHL, how difficult it is to win a Stanley Cup, the Oilers have been to one Cup final since that 90 Cup win, and we know that was in 06, and they lost that in the final. A Stanley Cup win in this era, I think, is worth more than a cup or two in the 80s when it was a smaller league, not as many teams, and it was no salary cap, and it was top-heavy, and we know what happened with the Oilers. They circumvented the whole thing because Gretzky wasn't even in the draft. He just stepped right in and started playing for them. I think in 20 years, if everything I laid out comes to fruition, Connor McDavid will be the new king of Edmonton. Is that crazy or what?
I think that's crazy. Just when you look at 99, just look at the numbers. Look at as long McDavid could play there 15, 25 more years, he still won't even come close.
All right. Here's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. Bob, we've debuted a new bit, a new segment on the show this week. Yeah, it's called The Take I Never Thought I'd Have to Make. Basically, you have to defend a contrarian thought, a contrarian opinion. And I just made the case for a take I never thought I'd make, that in 20 years, Connor McDavid will be considered the greatest Edmonton Oiler of all time, surpassing Wayne Gretzky. Do you think that's even remotely possible?
Probably not, and only because you made a lot of valid points insofar as it's so hard to compare the 1980s to, you know, the league since Connor McDavid came into it in the last 5 years. There's no comparison. There were so many weaker teams. The fourth line players back in the 80s, they weren't all, you know, physical machines that work out as hard as the first liners do, eat to win, train to win, everything. The game is so much more competitive top to bottom now than it used to be in the 1980s. And all you need to do is watch the 1980s hockey when Gretzky was running roughshod. I've made the point, though, before, there are some people who see that video and they see Gretzky dancing around everybody, and they're going, oh, everybody was terrible. No, they weren't terrible. They're terrible compared to maybe the way the athletes are now, but that's no different than, I mean, track and field or any other endeavor over time. You know, just the population itself has gotten taller and stronger, not necessarily healthier probably, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But in any case, the point I'm trying to make is that Gretzky, if he were born today and had the advantage of training and eating the way all these guys eat, I can't even imagine what he'd do to the National Hockey League, but it would still be more difficult than him trying to do it in the 1980s. So Connor's going to have a tough time generating the volume of cups and the volume. I'm not saying he won't on the cups, but he's going to have a real tough time on the volume of cups and just the sheer statistical domination over the next best player in the game. That's what Gretzky had going for him. I mean, if the league was so bad, everybody would have got 200-plus points, but they didn't. One guy did. Only one guy. And then Mario came along, and he also had a gap between him and everybody else in the league that was absolutely sublime. So that did speak to their talent, their dominance, but it also did speak to the sign of the times. And the times now are suggesting that with an 82-game schedule and and the way the schedule is compressed and the competitiveness of the league and how hard it is for Sidney Crosby or Ovechkin or anybody to dominate on a night-by-night, week-by-week, month-by-month basis the way Gretzky used to do it from game one right to the end of the season, that's a tough order.
Bob, we heard from Manfred and Mark Cuban, and they kind of had some comments today that were like optimistic that sports would be whatever the deadline, it was either, you know, early June, maybe trying to fire up late May. Do you think Bettman even wants to touch that or comment on it, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, who knows whether Gary Bettman will make any statement in relation to any of that. I mean, you know, we're kind of getting mixed signals a little bit here, I think. At least I am, as just a guy sitting at home on his couch, like pretty much everybody else, I guess. And I'm looking at the numbers, and today was the deadliest day, at least, I think, 237 new deaths reported in the USA today, the deadliest day so far. And, you know, most of the measures that have been taken in terms of locking things down, social distancing, shelter at home, all that stuff not likely to pay dividends, I would think, for another week or two in terms of the statistics. Because by the time they enacted it, there was already this tidal wave of virus that's going to cause death and cause more people to be infected. So we're still very much in the exponential growth trend of this. And I get, you know, I've heard the President of the United States talk about, yeah, we're going to get things open here pretty soon. And I'm just shaking my head and saying, and I, you know, everybody, the new superstar, I guess, is Dr. Tony Fauci, who's been a spokesman and a face of this thing in the United States and internationally. And he said, listen, we don't tell the virus when we get to do things. The virus tells us when we get to do things. And I understand everybody wanting to maintain optimism, but I'm firmly in the Fauci camp of when the numbers start to go down and there's containment, then that's when you can start to at least look at the notion that maybe, and I don't think you should put any time, any date stamp. I think if you're just creating a false sense of security or an illusion that it could happen by mid-May or it could happen by, you know, Trump saying, get the people back in the church by Easter. Well, yeah, if you want to make sure that the exponential growth of this thing is going, yeah, by all means, let's get everybody together in the next 2 or 3 weeks in large crowds all over the place. That would be a really good thing to do. So I think the NHL's position is pretty straightforward. They're prepared for whenever they get the green light to start doing anything, but I think it's foolhardy to even try and put a timeline on it right now.
Bob, Duffy got an opportunity to have a chat with Brendan Shanahan. One of the things that Shanny said that he liked about the team is that they were a resilient group, and they every time they got their back up against the wall, they seemed to kind of fight their way out of it. But he said the frustrating part is their team constantly continued to get their back up against the wall. And we were talking just the start of this hour before you came on about, you know, what you think about this whole group this whole season. You know, it wasn't a complete tire fire, but Brian, I'm not sure how you termed it, but it was an underwhelming season. It was really a forgettable year
for me.
Yeah, it was a really tough season.
To remember.
Yeah, so how would you characterize, you know, what Shanny said, but more paraphrasing, like what you would think this Leafs team and how much success they had this season or lack of it?
Well, I'm not a fan. I'm a reporter or a journalist, whatever, analyst, I don't know, insider, whatever stupid name you want to hang on my head, go ahead. But I'm not a fan. But sensing fans and seeing Brian Hayes on multiple occasions every week and trying to take a barometer take the temperature here of Leaf fans, I would say, as an analyst, I would use the word that the overwhelming sense of Leaf fans, aside from disappointment, would be infuriating to describe the Toronto Maple Leafs, because they do get, there is real fury there. And the expectations were extremely high for the season. And, you know, right at the very beginning of the season, it looked like, oh, yeah, they're pretty good. And then, you know, obviously Mike Babcock was fired. And then Keith took over and they really got on a roll. And so everybody, that just everybody was like doubling down on, yeah, we got a really good team here. It's going to be a great season. This is awesome. Glad they made the coaching change. We're off to the races. And then all of a sudden it was like, whoop, and the bottom kind of fell out. And then they went through the ridiculous, and I mean ridiculous series of highs and lows. And the lows obviously were, you know, utter collapses in periods or games, getting completely dummied by teams in important games. You know, the Florida game, they got dummied, you know, and came back in the third period. And a whole bunch of games like that where the Leaf faithful are just like, are you kidding me? This was supposed to be a good year, and you guys have disappointed me. And then, but there's a lot of teasing going on in between there, where they suddenly come out and they beat Tampa and they beat Florida and you know, they get things going again, and now everybody jumps back up on the bandwagon like, yes, we're going to be okay, we're going to be okay, and then the bottom falls out again. So that roller coaster of you know, really high expectations to you're really disappointing me to, oh, wow, you got my attention, we're really going good again. And that's why Brendan Shanahan's going to say the glass for him is half full, because, yeah, this team has on countless occasions shown an ability to rebound from some really bad losses and some deep holes that they were in. But they haven't stopped digging those deep holes or falling down at important times, and we don't know what the rest of the season would have brought us. And so it's infuriating, and obviously there's a huge X factor in terms of the unknown and what would have been otherwise.
Bobby, well, everybody's competitive and wants to play games and play for the Stanley Cup, but do you think there's any teams that are kind of circling back and saying, oof, we might have got away with one there, because if things had ended the way they ended, maybe we would have been sent packing, whether it be management, coaches, who knows?
Well, some of that stuff could still happen, but I mean, I thought you were going in a different direction with the question, but I've been thinking a little bit about the Detroit Red Wings players. And if I'm a Detroit Red Wing player, I mean, whatever they've got for the balance of the regular, and I understand why Red Wing ownership might want to have some games and get some revenue if they get some regular season games. And everybody, right now, everybody seems hot to trot for there's got to be some regular season hockey. Maybe not the full rest of the season that we miss, but there needs to be some regular season hockey. I don't know if they're looking at that as like a preseason for the playoffs or a training camp or whatever. I don't know. And I understand why they want to do that, and they probably don't want to refund ticket money if they absolutely don't have to. So from a business point of view, I understand it. But if I was a player on the Detroit Red Wings, and I'm looking at the standings, and I go, wait a second, we're coming back, and we're having a training camp, and then we're going to play some regular season games? Are you kidding me? Like, what's the point?
Right.
Other than the organization not having to refund dollars to people, which I guess they might say is really important, especially if the players did get their final checks and were paid through to the end of the regular season, they owe those games, so they have no choice. But from a mental standpoint, I mean, could you imagine? Now, as for other teams, two things I would say to that question, oh. One is, you always think you're going to be that team that dodges the bullet. Yeah, things weren't going good for us, but now they will when we start up again. And the other team, the other element of it would be everything that was a factor injury-wise. If we do get a full Stanley Cup playoff in July and August, or August and September, think about all the guys that were out with season-ending injuries or injuries that were going to dramatically impact them for the playoffs, and put them all back into the equation again. So Steven Stamkos, get back to the Tampa Bay Lightning, you'll be fine. Jake Gensel, get back to those Pittsburgh Penguins, you're going to be fine, no problems there. And it would make for a fascinating situation for, you know, the healthiest possible NHL you could possibly imagine, and starting up fresh in like July or August, and everybody feeling like, wow. The other thing about it is, whatever the playoffs might look like, I mean, we all have preconceived notions on these teams are good or bad. It's like starting a whole new season over again. I mean, what guarantee is there, really? What guarantee is there that if we don't start up until July or August with the Stanley Cup playoffs, that any of the stuff that held true, that were universal truths between October and when the pause hit, who's to say that's going to be the case coming out of this break? Everything could be different, and for no reason other than that's hockey. You put 3 months in between the end of what we were watching and starting up again, And I'm not convinced that everything's going to be exactly the same as it was, and that the good teams are still the good teams and the bad teams are still the bad teams.
Yeah.
There's one thing I can guarantee is if we're, let's say they come back July 1st and Leaf fans would be so happy to see their team return. If the Leafs are brutal that night, there'll be Leaf fans saying, I'm done. Oh. I hate this team. I'm not watching them play again.
I'm going to the cottage.
Yeah, I'm out. I've had enough. That I can guarantee you. That type of irrational reaction will be waiting for this team.
The roller coaster would be right back on full up.
Yep. Fire it up. The Yukon Striker. That's the Maple Leafs and the fan base. All right, Bob. Have a great weekend, buddy. We'll do it again next week.
Awesome, boys. Have a good weekend. Stay safe. Take care.
You got it. There he is. Bob McKenzie, our TSN hockey insider or analyst or journalist, reporter, whatever you want
whatever
to call
him. Yeah, whatever you want to call him. I liked his answer. I mean, he went to a very in-depth answer, but he talked about the fan base being very frustrated. Hayes, yeah. You could speak to that.
That's what it was. Yeah, it was. It was. They were infuriating this year. I think that's a perfect – and maybe that's because the expectations were out of whack, and maybe that's on the fans, maybe it's on the media. But at no point did you feel 100% comfortable or confident, yet you couldn't stop watching because you're like, well, they did just win two in a row. You know, let's see. Now Sheldon Keefe's here, and now there's an injured player that's returning. And it wasn't – I didn't find it to be an overly positive experience as a fan. But at the same time, it's not like they were last in the league or missing the playoffs. They were still there. Yeah. Anyway, that segment with Bobby Mack, powered by Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction, the health and safety of the community and their employees is the number one priority. With extra safety measures in place, Scarborough Nissan will remain open for business on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden. Two more battles to unveil, courtesy of the Overdrive Madness Bracket. We'll get to them. We'll wrap up what's been a pretty busy afternoon. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
I'm having a good time. Not.
Glory, glory, yeah!
The Overdrive Madness Bracket.
This guy's such an idiot here.
All right, the Overdrive Madness Bracket, brought to you by our friends at Maple Toyota, reminding everyone to follow the advice of healthcare experts, exercise social distancing, wash your hands frequently, and keep the vulnerable in mind, MapleToyota.com. So we had two battles going, courtesy of the Constipator region. You can vote online on Twitter at Overdrive1050, on Instagram at TSN1050. And now four contestants total from Al's Brothers Farmers region. You guys ready for this?
Ready to rock.
No, la.
I wish I was in your position because I know what's coming. You guys have no idea what clip I'm about to play.
Yeah.
No.
That's
so
awesome.
It's truly like you're experiencing this like the listeners would. Like,
yeah.
You have no idea what we're
all
about to play.
All I can think of is how buckled do you have to be to have that come out of your yap?
Crushed. Like, yeah. Social distancing, buckled. And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, sitting out on the edge of your driveway.
Just having a great time. All right, that's the first clip. Going up against this clip. Is Ray Bourque's number retired in Colorado?
No.
Case dismissed.
We find out the next day, or maybe 10 minutes later, that it is retired.
Yeah. Oh, it's the same segment. Someone wrote in, and they're like, actually, Grizzly Adams did have a beard. They're like, it is retired in Colorado. You buffoon. So there are many clips that feature us. That's the only one from me. Oh, you've got one in here, and Noodles, you've got one in here, and I have no idea when they're going to come up. At some point in the next couple of weeks. But that's one battle, Maradona up against Case Dismissed from the Al's Brothers Farmer region. And the next two, I think I know who's going to win this one, but these are both beautiful clips. You guys ready?
Ready.
Fire away.
77-78, when Joe Bisarchik was their quarterback. Patterson played Joe. So take that with your Pythagorean theorem. The Joe Bisarchik theorem. You're dead.
That is
that
brilliant.
One would go a long way on my watch.
Don LaGreca, you got him at least in the Sweet 16, I would think. Maybe Elite Eight. Maybe. But I don't know, man. I think that's a favorite in this cup. This is a drop that we've played when one of us have basically cornered our brain into saying something stupid, or we get too hyper or too excited. This is a Chris Farley SNL clip. I think you know exactly which one I'm talking about. I think it's in tough against our boy Don LaGreca, but let's play it and let's see how we feel about this battle.
All right.
Remember when you were in the Beatles and you did that album, Abbey Road?
Farley.
Farley's very a beautician.
Good.
I got to go with LaGreca in that, though.
I'm going LaGreca.
Yeah, the Sarchik theorem. You're dead.
Put him through. He wins.
Yeah, get him through there. At Overdrive 1050 on Twitter, at TSN 1050 on Instagram. So there you have it. Donnie LaGreca up against Farley. Maradona up against Case Dismissed. Harry Doyle up against Ron Burgundy. And Phil Kessel, good one, Randy, up against Lou Lamoriello's unfortunate set of circumstances. That's a tough battle.
That is going to be a tough one.
That's a tough battle. So get your votes in, and we will let you know who won on tomorrow's show. Every day we unveil four new battles, courtesy of the Overdrive Madness Bracket and our friends from Maple Toyota. So today, I think we've had some pretty good energy. It was a tough start because we've been connected and disconnected, and I've had a rough day because I did the FaceTime with CTV, and I sewered Andy because my Wi-Fi sucks. And anyway, I think we got through this one.
We grinded. Yeah, it was a good show.
My wife was dropping pots and pans.
Yeah, that one.
Then she got mad at me, and I'm like, "Look, I can't. Do you guys not agree? This microphone's pretty sensitive. Like, she would unpack something just like a grocery, and you can hear the paper unpacking.
Right.
And she's way across the room.
That one was loud. Like, I haven't heard her. I haven't heard anyone in your house, Noodles. My kids and wife they've kind of stayed away. I'm down in the basement. I'm in a bunker situation, so I'm out of the muck. But I think we've done all right. You know, we've survived through 4 days.
Yeah. It was a lot different than I thought it was early on going to be. A lot like, you know how Ray is always doing something and, you know, cooking and cleaning and stuff like that. I thought we were going to have a lot of like distracted noise and stuff, but we haven't. I'll be full disclosure. Was it yesterday we had a guest on? I think it was an NFL guest on, and I had dinner in front of me. And I turned the microphone off and was eating and listening like I was just watching the show or listening to it on the radio. And I was like, oh, I'm on the show. I should turn my mic back on and get involved in this again.
Yes. Like, I was eating yesterday, too, at one point. I had a meal. I have not done that before. I didn't do it today. I'm going to be eating in about 4 minutes. But I had a plate dropped off in the 6 p.m. hour, and I was playing that cough button. Again, like the piano, like the mute button on a phone. And you guys never picked up on it, but I had a full meal yesterday at like 6:15.
It's a beautiful thing.
How many people do you think are having a pint, like right, like on radio, doing work from home, just a glass of wine for the final segment? I'll bet you it's happening all over North America because everyone's set up at home. And, you know, we don't have to name names, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's happening somewhere on this continent.
You know, Matt Cause is absolutely pile drive for the last 15 minutes of the show.
I wasn't going to name names, but if he's sitting in his living room and it is 3:50 on a Friday afternoon.
He has a wine tasting. He's tasting wine.
Right. That would be his explanation. I'm not consuming it, I'm tasting it, as if there's some sort of difference.
But he's slurping it like that guy in the Tim Hortons commercial, slurping the coffee.
Yes, he is.
Exactly.
All right, Mark Shapiro will be on tomorrow at 6 o'clock, so we're looking forward to that. We've got Ray back tomorrow, more battles in the Overdrive Madness. We've got a lot of things ready for tomorrow. And, I guess you got to take it away here, buddy. This is all you now.
Go ahead.
Ne il ne shi I da shi oseo.
At Scarborough Nissan, the health and safety of the community and their employees is the number one priority at this time. With extra safety measures in place, Scarborough Nissan will remain open for business, offering the same great deals during the Nissan My Choice sales event. If you need a new vehicle, see their inventory online at ScarboroughNissan.com and book a one-on-one consultation. Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The My Choice sales event is on. Choose your bonus up to $2,000 bonus cash, up to 1% rate reduction, or up to 3 payments on them. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.